It didn't get me anywhere. I was losing jobs because of my drinking. You know, when all this comes into the mix, you know, not having steady income, and, you know, you fight a lot, and you think, well, I'll just go get drunk, you know, or I'll just go and do this, and it'll be better. Well, it doesn't get any better. And the sooner you realize that, the better off that you are.
Staigute, welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Today's story takes us to the streets of Buffalo, New York, where Jeff learned to work hard to support his drinking and partying. He didn't consider, though, the high price his family would pay for his addictions.
My name is Jeff Van Ivory. I'm an Upper Cayuga from the Six Nations Indian Reservation in Canada. I was taken to church as a little boy. Don't remember a whole lot about going and learning the Word of God. I did learn how to take the offering money and use that to go to the store to buy candy once I realized that my family or my dad that dropped us off wasn't going to come back until after the service was over. So once we realized that, and it was just a matter of waiting for him to pull away from the church, and we would run out the door and run to the store with our quarter. And back then, it was a quarter went a long way, so you can get a good amount of candy for that. But, you know, growing up in, I now live in Buffalo, New York, it was kind of diverse. You know, you had the neighborhoods, you had the Italian neighborhoods, you had the Puerto Rican neighborhoods, the black neighborhoods. So being a native in the city is a little rough because of the prejudice that goes on. And, you know, you're kind of torn of who you're going to follow. Like in high school, me being a big guy, they would always ask me, well, whose side are you on? And I was like, well, I'm not on anybody's side, you know. And if you didn't take this side would get mad at you. Because it was always a black and white thing as far as, you know, the racial tensions that go on. And I didn't really like being put in that situation. I was kicked out of high school in the 11th grade and basically wandered around for a year because you couldn't take a GED class unless you were out of school for a year. So that year there was just a lot of running around and partying and things like that. I did go on to get my GED. I did go on to truck driving school, but I never got a job as driving a truck because they wanted 2 years over the road experience before they would allow you to drive. So that didn't work out. I became a certified welder. Went to welding school and got my certificate in welding and didn't even really get a job welding either. I was hired as a machinist. It wasn't until after that I did get a chance to go to a company and to get more welding experience and got into the union. But I realized, you know, the jobs that I had, I've had many, but they were all to support my drinking habit, which now I realize is an addiction because it's not a habit, it's an addiction when it has control over not only you, but your whole life. And it's a type of bondage that that the world publicizes and makes everything look like it's a good thing to do. And looking back now, I realize that it wasn't. It was the wrong way to go. But I was doing the things that my father did. My father worked at General Motors for 35 years. And he was an alcoholic, and he wasn't always there. And I learned to drink and to party and to hide things from my parents. at an early age because I left home when I was 15, 16 years old. And I mean, a lot of time and a lot of empty spaces in between the things that I did until I got older. I started working structural steel when I was 16 years old because I lied on my application. And the reason I did that was so I would get into the ironworking industry and make good money. Because with the good money, you have more money to drink and party with. So that wasn't hard to do until they found out that I lied on my application and they let me go. I did play sports. I played basketball. I was on the swim team. I played football. They played a lot of street hockey in the neighborhood. And these things here, which are glorified in sports today, is that they all basically end with drinking and partying. You know, after the game, everybody goes to the bar and drinks. And whether it's a win or a loss, and usually it was a win because we were a pretty good team in lacrosse. And so we had a lot to celebrate. But after that, the party was over, the celebration was over. It wasn't really over for me. I just continued on and continued drinking and partying and doing the things that that the party never ended. With that, a lot of problems came up because of it. It not only ruins relationships, but it also ruins families. And you know, these are some of the things that go along with that you're not really told of, because it's so glorified in the world that, you know, real men drink and work hard and party hard, and you know how many women that you can score with is all glorified too. You know, that's what makes you a man. But I did get into working in the bars because I'm 6'3". I was 315 pounds, so I made a good doorman. And with being a doorman, you're open up to not only the things that are in the bar themselves, as far as drugs and alcohol and women and these types of things, but you're put into a position where your feelings are kind of masked over by the alcohol and the things that are going on around you. But going through life and going through these things on a road that I now realize is that road of destruction. And that's exactly what it does. It's a destructive way of life that we as natural people don't realize until most of the time it's too late. I did meet up with the woman that I eventually married and starting to have children. So when I was 34 years old, I had done a lot of things in my life. I had a lot of different experiences in my life that I did. But working in the bars and being a big guy, you get drawn into, I think, a little more. I got into basically collecting money for people that were owed money. I robbed a gas station. I robbed a couple gas stations. I robbed a bar. Went in there and just using my size and my strength to basically strong-arm people to give me their money. It was getting to a point in my life where, you know, I was feeling unstoppable, you know. And it was either me killing somebody or me being killed myself. But really what had an impact on me was when my wife now, which we weren't married, she had left me because of my lifestyle, for the drinking and the anger and the things that go along with that. Took the kids and left, and she just told me flat out that this isn't the life that she wanted, and she didn't want our children to be around. And you know, I looked at it and I said, well, me thinking, because it's happened before, she's left and come back and things like that. And, you know, as soon as things calmed down, I went right back doing the same things that I used to do. But this time I realized that it was different because she wasn't coming back. And she wasn't answering, you know, my calls, or wasn't accepting any type of communication from me. When she finally did put her foot down, it was, you know, this is do or die. I realized when she left, she wasn't my wife then. We were living together. We had children already together. Yet things just weren't basically going the way that they should. Just like the reasons why I left home, because my father being an alcoholic and me being an alcoholic, but not knowing that you're an alcoholic. But what I mean is you don't realize when you're in it, you don't realize what's going on because you're in that. You need to step out of that and look back at the camp and how my drinking and everything was affecting my family and my kids. I was doing the same thing my father was doing that he did to me. And I always said that I didn't want that, you know, for my family. But when you bottom out like that, there's no other way to look but up. And the lifestyle that I was leading, I realized now, wasn't the answer. It didn't get me anywhere. I was losing jobs because of my drinking. You know, when all this comes into the mix, you know, not having steady income, and, you know, you fight a lot, and you think, well, I'll just go get drunk, you know, or I'll just go and do this, and it'll be better. Well, it doesn't get any better. And the sooner you realize that, the better off that you are. So, you know, my mother had passed away, and my father had passed away, and we had just moved to another apartment, which was supposed to be better for us because it was a bigger house. It was a single house, and we would have the whole house for ourselves and more bedrooms for the kids. But it turned out to be anything but that, because when she left, I was in an empty house, and it wasn't real joyful, because her and the kids not being there just made it hard.
It's sad to think how many lives have been ruined by alcohol. Perhaps you can relate to what Jeff is saying. Whether you've hit bottom or not, though, there's really only one place to look, and that is to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can bring healing and forgiveness. Listen to what God says in His Word. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's what we will learn happened to Jeff, and what can happen to you if you will turn to God through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Would you like to know more about what it means to know God? Please visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. If you're on Facebook, you can connect with us at Without Reservation. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's more to Jeff's story, so we hope you'll join us next time as we listen to The Storyteller.